1 year later, I am proud to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated very close to 100% of the territory just recently held by these killers in Iraq and in Syria and in other locations as well.
Of course, Bashar al-Assad is part of that coalition. And Vladimir Putin. I get it. You want ISIS to get crushed. I get it. We all want that. There's some devil in the details. All right, here he is. Anthony Scaramucci is joining us, and I am sure that you watched this last night with great interest, and obviously as a supporter of Donald Trump. So I'm assuming you still are, right? There's no headline here, right? You're still very much in his camp.
Very, very much. Of course, I'm not going to let the fact that I got fired break a two-decade friendship. I mean, it's politics is one thing, friendship and loyalty is another.
Can I ask you that? Can I just go back?
It's great to be on your show, though.
Great to have you. Thank you, and thank you for agreeing to do this too. But here's the thing. Now you've known him for 2 decades, but you did not support him in the primary. So how did that all work out? How did you end up moving over to him?
Well, a quick story. I met with him the day after The Apprentice ended, so that finale, and we had breakfast. He said, "Hey, that's my last Apprentice. They want to re-sign me, but I'm running for president." I literally laughed. I said, "There's no way you're doing that." He said, no, I'm doing it." I said, "You're not going to do it." I said, "You've got 19,000 square feet of space here in this Trump Tower, and there's 6,000 square feet of space in the White House residence. You're not going to do it. By the way, I've been on your plane. Your plane is unbelievable. Why do you want to carry the press around and so forth? No. I'm going to fix the country's problems. I'm running for president." So I didn't believe him. So I said, "Listen, I'm already tied into Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin. He's a good friend of mine. I'm his finance chair with Todd Ricketts, who was just named the RNC chair, finance chair." I said, I'm gonna work for Scott." He said, "Well, if I beat Scott, will you join me?" I said, "Well, actually, I can't because I have an agreement with some of my buddies that I would go over to Jeb Bush." He says, "Okay, I like the fact that you're a loyal guy. If I beat Scott and Jeb, will you join me?" And I said, "Yes. If you beat Scott and Jeb, then I'll join you." And so I did. And I'm a loyal guy, and I'm sure you've got a lot of your viewers that grew up in a neighborhood similar to my neighborhood. And so, you stick close to your friends. And so, but I didn't take him seriously in the beginning. And the Democrats obviously didn't take him seriously. And that's why he won.
Well, for his first year in, I mean, State of the Union, I know we want to get to that aside. But is the President Trump 1 year in different than the businessman Trump that you knew before? Have you seen anything evolve in this year?
Well, I think he said something very telling, Ro, at the anchor meeting at lunch. What he basically said was that in business, you can be cunning and ruthless, and it's a vicious competition. But in government, you actually have to have a heart and some compassion because the decisions that you're making are affecting millions of people. And I think it was very revelatory of what his personality is really like. I think the real danger for the Democrats right now is if they get another episode like they got 3 weeks ago with the 55 minutes, they're showing the president in his full glory for 55 minutes unfiltered on television, and all of a sudden you're catching him for who he really is, not the disfigurement of these stupid tabloid books or not the comments that people are running out to microphones saying that he's saying, but you're actually seeing him for who he is.
Well, wait, and Anthony, wait. Let's be fair about that. Yeah, we were all, as a matter of fact, we applauded that moment that you're talking about when he was sitting there as negotiating a deal with a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers around him in the White House. That was a very impressive moment, and I think a lot of people thought that was a good thing. But he turned his position around 180 degrees within 36 hours of that meeting. So this isn't really about this is what you think he said or you didn't say. That deal clearly fell apart, right? And that was I think there are people, and you know this. You talked about this in your your star bright moment that you had as the communications director for the White House. There was this moment where I think you realize, because you've been around a lot, you've seen retail politics done, you know, at street level, as you're talking about from like neighborhoods where you grew up, but you also have seen how to shape a message so that you sell it to a broad audience. And in this case, don't you think that the president would be better off by being a little more, not necessarily even politically conciliatory, but just showing off the heart piece? But he doesn't like to do that because immediately, as soon as he does it and says, I want a, you know, pathway to citizenship, a bunch of people on his right get in there and start banging him on the head, go, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And he emotionally responds to that.
Well, I mean, you know, the specific thing that you're referring to, I think, had more to do with the proceeds related to the wall. You know, he wanted more than what Schumer was asking for. So that's, in my opinion, that's why he reversed his position. I know it's been painted a lot of different ways in the media, but you are bringing up something that I totally agree with. I think that the one problem that the White House has had since inception is something that Steve created, Steve Bannon, where in February of last year, he said he was declaring war on the media. So that would include the two of you guys. And he's basically saying that the media is the opposition party, and we have a declaration of war issued here from the White House. That was a terrible, terrible thing to do, because that sets the president up in a way that's totally unfair to him, and now you're unifying the media against the White House. I don't know historically how any president could declare war on the media and win that war. And so one of the things I tried to do, and again, I was only there for 11 days, but the first move that I made was I turned the lights and cameras back on in the press room. The second move I made, and from the press podium that day that my position was announced, I elucidated what I wanted to do, which was to calm down the rhetoric, de-escalate the war, effectively declare an armistice. It's okay to have a confrontational relationship with the media if you have to, or an adversarial one, but let's not have a war declaration. And so what's happened now is that every time the president moves in the direction that you're talking about, talk about like the heart move. Every time he moves in the heart move, you've got guys on his right like Breitbart and some of these nonsensical guys that are lighting him up. Mm-hmm. The American people, probably, I don't know you guys, but I'm a fairly political centrist in my mind. I'm probably right-leaning on a few things, and I'm probably way to the left on things like social issues. But at the end of the day, 86% of the American population wants a solution that includes citizenship for the Dreamers. I'm in that camp, so I'm not in the 14%.
So, but with Anthony Scaramucci, without jumping, yep, you know, to the specifics of this, just let's go back to this notion. Do you still have influence with the president? Do you still have influence in that press shop in any way, shape, or form? And do you think a message like yours, because I remember that was the one thing about your moment there that I was excited about, because I thought, oh, here's a guy who has an opportunity, because you get it. You understand that there's an opportunity here. If the president, all he's got to do is put down the Twitter machine and say a couple nice things about some people, which is what every president has done basically since George frickin' Washington. And then the next thing you know, his approval ratings are going to go up. It's the negative tone. It's the sniping. It's the mean side of him, the bully side of him, that's doing him in terms of his popularity, because he's got good stories to tell. Anthony Scaramucci, you know it.
Yeah, listen, in the economic situation and the policies that he's put in place,
yes,
and the executive
those are good
orders,
stories,
and the movement towards deregulation, and
nah,
also
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, okay. But there's been, everything else is good. The markets are good.
Let me say it to you this way, okay? You can't overregulate the society, and you can't underregulate the society.
Yeah, but without getting caught in the specifics, that drilling thing offshore, then Florida gets its own, gets cut out of it. I mean, it's, come on.
Anthony,
it's, some of that's so
ridiculous. Do you still talk to the president?
You were cut out of Obamacare, and you had unions that were cut out of Obamacare. Unfortunately, politics works like that in our country and every country.
Anthony,
and I'm sure it works like that in the city of Chicago.
Oh, no, we're perfect here.
We've got a lot of problems here.
I'm sure.
Anthony, do you still talk with the president? Are you having conversation with him? Will you be part of a re-election campaign? Will you rejoin him in some way, shape, or form?
You know, listen, I certainly, you know, I'm a big supporter, obviously, and I'm close to the family, and I would certainly like to help him on the re-election campaign. I don't see any way for me to return to the White House, frankly. So people that talk about that, I think, is nonsensical. But I certainly will be as supportive as I can after the Steve Bannon blow up, where take out the expletives of you know that guy catching me on a recording and me thinking it was off the record. I accurately identify.
You weren't wrong.
Observational talent perspective, what he was doing, how he was doing it, and how destructive it was.
Yeah, right? You weren't wrong.
So, at the end of the day, you know, we had a conversation related to that. I went back on the air to support him in the early part of January. And if he wants me on the air, I'll be on the air.
Are you being supported by the White House in that? Are you being? Does the White House consider you to be a surrogate?
I'm not an official surrogate, so I'm not. I mean, I do get the email briefings, and I do talk to Hope and Sarah from time to time, and I talk to the president from time to time. But again, I'm not one of these guys who's going to exaggerate my relationship with the president and tell you, "Oh yeah, I'm on the phone with the guy every day." I have probably talked to President Trump since my firing 4, possibly 5 times. I haven't talked to him that much, but when I do talk to him, it's meaningful. And obviously, I talk to his children a lot. And listen, I'm a supporter, and I think by and large, he's done a great job. But I will cede the comment that you're making. You've got to you have to marry the content with style. And if you put him in a style box that you're describing, not only will the approval rating go up, it'll be very hard for them to shoot at him.
Yeah.
They're shooting at him on style. They're not shooting on him based on the economic data.
No,
they're not shooting
substance.
On him based on. They're not shooting on him on North Korea. You know, those Democrats that have been in those briefings know that a lot of the things that he's done with his team has gotten the North and South Koreans back to the negotiating table. They're marching together in the Winter Olympics under a unified flag. And there were other presidents that couldn't get that done. He did get that done. So they can't shoot on him on those levels. They are hitting him on style, and it'll be up to him. He's going to be 72 in June. These habits are ingrained in his personality to counterpunch people that are hitting him. It'll be up to him if he wants to make that style change or not.
All right. Anthony Scaramucci, I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much for being
with us.
Anthony. Really appreciate it.
Real honor. I love the city of Chicago, and congratulations on the Cubs. Okay, that was
thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to live on that for about a decade, so
we
don't
do
you worry
here.
About it.
We do that on those championships.
I think Houston might be the world champions, but whatever.
80-plus years, you got to savor it. God bless.
For sure. God bless. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch. He was on the loose right there. All right, right now, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?